Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Corey and Chad here chatting with Brian London, editor of the Gold Newsletter, also our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference. Now Brian, we're going to step away from the gold sector, although gold is closing in on 2,000 again, and unfortunately the juniors are still doing nothing, but you know what, we've talked enough about that this week, we're even going to talk a little bit about it on the weekend show. I want to switch over to some other sectors within the resource space that, in all fairness, are getting attention. As much as the gold bugs are saying this is a dead market and there just aren't any generalists looking at junior stocks, there's one sector that continues to get some love. And what I'm seeing is lithium juniors. I know that a number of them have come back off of their highs, but we're still seeing companies, other, like, let's call them initially precious metals companies or other commodity focuses, switching over to lithium and almost immediately getting a buy. We've seen this before in some other sectors, but Brian, what's your takeaway from still the interest that seems to be from a more generalist audience in lithium plays?
Yeah, Corey, thank you for the opportunity. Yeah, if you're talking about other metals that are getting attention and as opposed to, you know, the rest of the market, I think the story begins and ends with lithium, you know, and that's pretty much it. That's the only thing that's getting any traction. And typically, you need an underlying bull market in gold to attract generalist investors to the junior mining market. I mean, we saw that in the 2000s, you know, we had a background of a gold and silver bull market and soaring prices for juniors involved in that sector. And then we had the uranium mania. We had the rare earth mania. We had, you know, some of the base metals taking off in copper, et cetera. And people started branching out, but they started in gold and then they started looking at these other areas and other sectors. Lithium right now, because it is a powerful story and it's one that all investors can understand. You know, not every investor out there gets gold, but they all understand what's happening with the new energy economy and the stresses on the lithium market and frankly lithium prices, which are extremely volatile but also extremely rich. So that's the area, you know, and we see these companies switching from gold and other metals and all of a sudden realizing that they have lithium on their property or a trace of lithium on their property or a property that's somewhere in the same longitude and latitude of, you know, another lithium discovery. And, you know, and then we see them all of a sudden get traction in the market and their value take off. We've had a few successes in the sector in the Gold Newsletter portfolio, but right now I'm still looking for something that is undervalued because it does undervalued but deserving of some potential and isn't just a closeology play or something like that. So I'm still looking for more of these kinds of opportunities because they do get traction and from a much broader audience than this kind of junior mining sector or gold bug community.
And Brian, another thing that we should note is that, you know, I remember being in the last lithium boom, which was 2010 through 2012, where there was a lot of excitement about it, but it died out. But you didn't have Elon Musk tweeting about it on social media. You didn't have Tesla and GM and Ford actually going down and partnering with mining companies, which we've not seen a lot of that ever. I mean, it's just nice to see manufacturers and end users and large conglomerates, even battery factories, starting to look at how are they going to source these critical minerals? And so my question is, if we've seen that happen in lithium and that's shined a spotlight on it, there's a lot of other minerals that are still very critical that we need that we haven't seen as many of the partnerships, but there is government money from the US and Canada. It's not just going after lithium, but going after nickel, copper, cobalt, a lot of manganese, a lot of different minerals. Do you think that this kind of attention on the supply chain is going to highlight some other minerals and maybe give them a boost as well?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, on that note, I think copper is the safest, the surest, and one of the most exciting stories in the whole sector because it not only is incorporated in electric vehicles and everything else, it needs copper windings. You need it and a lot of it for just electric motors, but it's also the delivery system. The grids, the global energy grid can't handle the kind of demands that will be needed over the next 5, 10, 20 years, and the entire grid will have to be upgraded. Copper is used at every step of that production chain of electricity. And it takes, and it's also the fact that it takes a lot of time and capital expense and permitting to get a meaningful copper project done, built, and producing. And, you know, 10 years at a minimum, and we've had a decade or more of lack of investment in the sector. Every major copper discovery out there that is currently non-economic or out of the money at current copper prices is going to need to be developed. Some of them, in fact, will not be developed because of political reasons, but the market will be able to use every single one of them. You know, I've been predicting $8 copper in 3 to 5 years, and I thought that was pretty extreme. I was talking to the CEO of a new copper play, and I won't mention his name, but he thinks copper is going to $16 a pound, which, you know, it could happen. It could happen. But that's the kind of potential we're talking for the basic metal. If you're looking at the plays involved in copper right now, they're, you know, it is a long-term play. It's not like it's something that you buy today and in the next few months you could double your money, like an undervalued or a new discovery in lithium. But if you're willing to sock some money away for a few years, I think copper is one of the best places to be.
Brian, do you think copper struggles from being almost too big of a market so that the torque on the upside, well, it could get to, who knows, maybe $9, maybe even higher than that, but it is a larger market and it is more established. Lithium, on the other hand, some of these other critical minerals, they have been around just as long, but they're not as large. So maybe that upside torque is greater in some of these smaller markets?
Well, it's not as concentrated as the lithium market with a couple of big time producers and some smaller wannabes, but lithium's growing pretty well too. You know, if you're not a bull on lithium, then I suggest taking a drive past the Tesla Gigafactory outside of Austin, which I did a couple of months ago, and get a look at the size of that thing. And that will make you a lithium bull right away. So, yeah, you know, I think that's a good point. Copper is dominated by really big players and really big projects and that take a lot of money and just move so slowly to get developed. But, you know, we're going to need, again, every major discovery that's already on the books somewhere. And there are companies, juniors, that hold these projects that are going to rise in value considerably over the next few years. So, yeah, copper is not sexy, but it's, you know, it is the one metal that's involved in every step of this new of the production chain of electricity and electrified vehicles.
Well, and Brian, to the point of other metals that maybe have smaller niche uses but are still very important, something like a cobalt or a manganese, there's really not a lot of options for investors. Even when we saw nickel go limit up and they finally had to shut down the trading in 2022 during the Ukraine war because there was so much interest in nickel, people were scrambling around trying to find which nickel companies are getting ready to go in production. And there were very few that were even anywhere close. And when they looked at which nickel companies are in production, most of them are polymetallic. When you look at some of these other metals, even a lot of, you know, what we used to call base metals, now they're critical minerals, a lot of them are polymetallic deposits. And investors, even retail investors especially, don't have an easy time of even valuing, like, what is a good copper deposit? What is a good nickel deposit? What is a good manganese deposit? So it's very hard, or zinc, it's very hard for them to value them. Do you think that it's maybe different in that people are conditioned to analyze gold and even silver stocks, but they're not really trained to analyze these other base metals? Where lithium, I think some of the reason that things have gotten so frothy in the sector is that people have absolutely no idea how to value a brine deposit or a hard rock deposit or a direct lithium extraction deposit. So it's more of that blue sky, that unknown, kind of like a drill play where they don't know what it's worth. They just know it's a lot. And that kind of forces a frenzy into something. Is that maybe the difference between base metals and what we're seeing in lithium?
Yeah, it's tougher to value some of the base metal projects, tougher to value lithium. not that gold is really simple for a newbie to the sector, but you know, a few years under your belt and you can understand that, but it is different for everything else. And there's so many other factors that come into a lithium deposit. You know, this is a good grade, but it depends, you know, how thick is the intersection in the brine? Where is it located? Do you have water? You know, how does hard rock compare? The whole DLE issue right now is emerging in there and negating a lot of the issues for the evaporation ponds and everything else. So it is not only a lot more complicated, but it's moving very quickly. And that's what happens too when you get a lot of money dedicated to the sector and a lot of desperation from industry to get in high prices too. It all comes together and there's a lot of innovation in that sector. But you're right, there's a lot of speculation and a lot of fervor, and you have to be nimble if you're going to be buying this stuff. And the people who are buying it don't necessarily put that much analysis into it for all the above reasons.
So just circling this back around to some of the precious metals bugs, any chance some of this frothy money rotates into gold or silver plays?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Can it work opposite from the pattern we've seen in the past where it starts out in gold and then spreads out? Can it go from lithium to gold? I don't know. There are different reasons to buy gold. There are important reasons. I think that the opportunity in both sectors, broadly speaking, you know, base metals, critical metals versus monetary metals, gold and silver, both those opportunities exist on parallel tracks for different reasons, but I think they're both generational opportunities. You know, we talk about the head and shoulders pattern for gold and how it projects to prices of $3,000 or more. If you look at what's happening in the macro picture and the gold market, both the gold price and the Fed fund futures are predicting that the Fed is, I mean, we got news as we speak just yesterday, or indications from the Fed that they're going to pause at the next meeting. That's great. We're seeing reaction in the markets today as we're speaking. However, I think the bond market and the gold market are looking beyond that pause and actually looking toward the Fed beginning to cut rates at some point in the fall. That, to me, is predicting some sort of a crack up in the markets, some kind of something breaking in the financial plumbing system, and not just a recession, because I find it hard to believe that we could have a recession deep and severe enough identified by the fall or at the end of the year that would force the Fed to start cutting rates. So something's lying ahead and the markets are looking at that. And, you know, and so I think that's still, although we seem to be stuck in the mud here with the juniors, I think from the fundamental end of it and the technical end, that's a real opportunity as well right now.
All right. Well, Brian, we'll wrap it up here. I know there's a lot of people listening that really hope something happens positive for the juniors and money starts flowing in there, because in this pricing environment for the metals, everybody, management and investors included, all expected a much better environment for these precious metals juniors. But again, there's other alternatives out there. And boy, oh boy, lithium juniors are continuing to suck up a fair bit of capital. Brian, thank you as always for your time. We'll chat in another couple weeks. Have a great rest of your week.
You too. Thanks, guys.